when people will line up with the Word of God and what He says in His Word and obey Him, then you're in one accord with God. God said that this will work every time when people get in one accord into either what I tell you along with in line with the Word of God and obedience to that, and be in one accord with the Word of God. He said the suddenlies will happen to them, and I'm going to explain that. That just been keep coming up in my spirit, suddenly. Suddenly. Well, here, suddenly, something happened. Now, you get a lot of things happen around in church work, but no suddenlies from God. Amen. Suddenly, the week of our fresh oil, suddenly, Friday night, things started happening. I just felt up strong, impressing to pick up a chair and push it. Now, you'd say, well, why did he do that? I mean, that no telling where that. I mean, even all our critics probably got a hold of those videos. Said, look at that. What scriptural basis is that? Well, I'll tell you the scripture. I'll tell you the scripture. You'd like to know? He said he'll use the foolish things to confine the wise. And you know, in a prophet's ministry, a lot of times they act out things. I said they'll act out things. And you'll think, my goodness, look at that. Isn't that something? I've never seen anything like that. Honey, you're going to see a lot of things that you haven't seen in the natural. You know, we got people that major on criticism. They want to criticize everything. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. This church, hey, we're getting into the suddenlies where suddenly they were healed. Suddenly the finances started flowing. But we're going to, and we have worked at it to get this place in one accord. Not what you want. Not what your flesh wants. Or what your flesh think that we ought to do with this church. It matters what God said. We came from Tulsa. God said, you're done there. I said, what do you mean I'm done there? He said, you're done. I want you to go back to California and get in position. I want you to pioneer again. I don't like pioneering. I don't like it. My flesh don't like it. I don't like it. Everybody wants everything. Just step in a place, and that's nice. Step in a place. Everything's there. All the speakers are there. The buildings are there. I move out here and start and go. It seems like I'm going backwards. I'm in a garage now. I had a $1 million building in Tulsa, and now I'm in a garage. And John's sitting in the garage. And David Lindsay sitting out in the garage duplicating tapes. But what did he say? He said, you're going to have to decrease before you increase. Glory to God. It doesn't matter because you don't see things in the natural that things are not happening. This is my 30th year of ministry. And it looked like I'm going backwards. It looks like the seed is going backwards when it goes into the ground, but it'll produce. And you'll see a center. You'll see a Bible school. You'll see because God said it and we did it and we got in one accord. Me and my wife got in one accord. I'm going to tell you, the finances stopped. The finances. My road meetings stopped for different reasons, rumors and different things. It was flying high. Back in then, everybody was killing everybody. Then, you know what I mean? They're shooting, looking around, little everything, about to find dirt on everybody. The 80s weren't too good of years, really. That's why we're having refreshing in the 90s. Can you say amen? Amen. But you had to decrease before you increase. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm sure helping myself. Glory to God. And I already see the building. I already see it's in there, right in here. It's right in here. Praise God. And the seed is going down there.
Amen.
It didn't scare me when God said, this is what I want you to build. This is the first phase of the building. Ain't got no money in the building fund. That don't bother me a bit. I just start planting towards it. I decrease, for He can increase it. Amen. We got some things in the work. We can't announce it right now, but there's some great things that are happening that God's already getting things and preparing people to help pay for this building.
Glory.
You know, God will go outside of the church and do it.
Amen.
He'd rather for the church to do it, but a lot of people don't want to decrease. When God speaks. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Wendy is really decreasing. No offense to you, David. But she is. She's leaving her home. She's leaving her church. She'll never love another church like this church. She'll never love another church like this. But she's decreasing, taking her family, leaving her family. She's decreasing in some areas. What? For she can increase. I don't know if they'll increase in kids or what, but whatever. But she's doing that. Do you see that? But for what? The good. You've heard prophecies over. God's going to put you in the ministry. God's going to put you in the ministry. And she's sitting here keeping herself clean, keeping herself and keeping the dudes off of her and everything else. But why? Because, and then what happened? You've heard it through the years. You've seen her here by herself doing what she told, taking care of her baby. Suddenly, somebody shows up. And suddenly, he finally got the light. And it didn't take much. And boom, something happened. But she was planting seeds. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm a preaching real good. Well, that never happened to me because you don't want to pay the price. She was faithful in the nursery. She says, I'm a single woman. What am I doing working in the nursery? She decreased, for she can increase. Not that that's not a very good job. Don't misunderstand me. But what? See, that's what happens. Something is about suddenly. The suddenlies are going to happen around here. It's already starting to happen. I talked to a man. I don't think he's here this morning. I think he's up north. He owns a furniture factory here. He told me, he delivered me and my wife. He says, I just want to honor my pastor with, and they make these swings and rustic type of swings, real poplar across. He came in there and he had tears in his eyes and he told me, my business has doubled since I started going here and putting my tithes into this church. And there's some other businessmen here to tell you the same thing. Suddenly, God's coming up on their business. He said, we're going over double now. He says, now you got to understand, for manufacturing, this just isn't possible. They just say, you can't do it in that short of time. But his business has doubled. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And because they decrease and give and doing what God told them to do. And their business, suddenly God moves up. See, I've read this I don't know how many times, but I'm telling you, you get more and more. He said, I still want to do suddenly. I did it 2,000 years ago, but I'm still doing suddenly today if people will get in one accord with the Word of God and my will. That's what Wendy said. I want your will, not my will. And decrease to God's will in accordance. And God was working behind the scenes. And God started doing things. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. You see, when you obey God, praise God, you obey God in your tithes. Do you need to obey God in your offerings and then more offerings? And then more offerings and bless God? And God will bless you. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You see, there's something here. He said, if two or more, I'd be in the midst of you. Wouldn't you say that if he's in the midst of you, suddenly things are going to change? He said he's in agreement. If you two are in agreement, if two agree, that he'd be there, what? To bring to pass what you are agreeing for. Us ministers that are in the field ministry and pioneering churches and everything else and different things, we're all the ones that are really hungry. That's all we want is the will of God to get into that. And all, I mean, the guys that I talk to, that's all I want is the will of God. God's, I don't want none of my vision. I want what God wants. And things are starting to happen. My meetings are not the same since the first of the year when that glory came into this building. My ministry has not been the same. And that happened 20-some years ago, that strong of the glory cloud. Why? Because we've worked for several years here to get into what God wanted us to do. And then suddenly, you that were here, that glory came in here. And they said, well, it was the candles. Well, we had candles last night. Wasn't that a wonderful meeting last night? Oh, I'll tell you, suddenly the power of God moved in this place. It was a ministry of health banquet. It was wonderful. But see that? And then what happened? Things are starting to change. God's behind the scenes working. Things are happening because we're getting in one accord. Can you say amen? Look to the person next to you and say, you're going to have to decrease before you increase. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Oh, that being a liar, you go to hell for lying. I was in a meeting in the late 70s in a church in Bakersfield. And the Lord started dealing with, and a prophet's anointing is very unusual. They do very unusual things, and they get unusual results from people's opinions and everything else just by obeying God. But I made up my mind a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, that I'm not going to worry about what people think about me in their head, because my joy is not in their head. My joy is in the Lord, and I want to know what He thinks about it. Can you say amen? And I preach Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And the Lord started dealing with me. He said, tonight, that's the way it came, tonight I want you to raise $100,000. I said, tonight? Tonight? And he didn't answer me. You know when he tells you to do something, that's it. I mean, amen? It's like James was bringing out yesterday afternoon, the ministry helps. When God spoke, that's it. When he speaks to you, that's it. He's wanting you to get in agreement. If you're going to have the suddenly happen, you're going to have to obey God. Can you say amen? And I said, well, Lord, so I started, figuring it out in my head. Well, Lord, why don't you hold me over until Sunday? They run 2,500 on Sunday. They have four services. I know the pastor, he'd have me stay, and I'll preach all four services, a piece of cake with 2,500 people. See, you always think of numbers will get you your money, but that isn't necessarily true. I've had some of my biggest offerings from small churches than big ones. Thank you for your enthusiasm, but it's the truth. I've had it from the smallest churches, I've had my biggest offering. Amen? And he didn't answer. See, when he doesn't answer, I mean, there's no use messing around with it. You could sit and argue all you want, but he already spoke, and he's waiting for you to get in one accord with his voice and what he told you with obedience. Obedience always creates an atmosphere for miracles to happen when you obey God. And that's the same thing with the ministry, with word of knowledge or whatever. It'll always create an atmosphere for miracles to happen. That Friday night, my wife falls over on my back. You never see her falling over. She falls over and kind of pushes me out. I pull out and I'm rolling down here. And then I pick up a chair and go across the way. You ought to ask God an interpretation. One of these days I'll tell you the interpretation of it. Suddenly, something started happening. God started moving. Can you say, and people in their minds trying to figure it out. Well, see, well, you know what we need to do is the body, get out of our minds and get into our spirit. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Well, then why don't you get into his thoughts, which are in here, and get out of your mind and get into your spirit. I didn't say, well, I was losing my mind. I said, I'm out of my mind and into my spirit, obeying what God told me to do. Everybody say that. Out of our mind and in our spirit. See, that doesn't mean that you're a nut and you've lost your mind. Some people say, they're crazy. No, you just got out of your mind and got into your spirit. Well, I was having trouble in my mind. I was figuring it out. Well, we could do it with more people. Honey, that's all you need is get in agreement with you and Jesus and you can move this earth for him and whatever he says for you to do. Are you listening to this preacher? And I'm not going to have a dead church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory, there's nothing wrong with your voice.
Amen.
There's no coffin here this morning. We're not come to a funeral. We come to worship a God that's alive. And he's a God of suddenlies. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And it's just like, you know, him smiling in heaven. And I went out there. And, you know, they ran about between 200 to 250 on a Wednesday night. See, that's California's program. You know, just come to church just on Sunday morning. But they had about 250. They had about 220 that Wednesday night. And I'm thinking, well, half of them are going to have to give $1,000 a piece. And I said, Lord, so we obeyed God. And I preached what? I preached about 40 minutes. And then I said it. I said, tonight God wants $100,000. And it got quiet. Now, you got to remember, God already spoke it. And you got to know that behind the scenes, God's already moving and dealing with people. You got to realize people have all different kinds of reactions. Bible says not be afraid of their faces. See, you know what the trouble is with a lot of people? They don't want to go to a church that preaches commitment when it comes to the Word of God. People don't want to be bothered. They want all their pleasure, but they don't want to go to hell. Honey, we're coming in an hour a day that you can't walk on the fence. You're going to have to get to work. Everybody in this church, people come and go because they don't want to work. You come in this church, you work, and you know that. Because we got to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then I told the people what God told me. And I said, God told me that he was going to bless you. That he was going to bless you. I'm just doing what God. I'm just his delivery boy. And you know, it took a while. And I says, all right, who's going to start? And then real slow, people started standing up. And then they started standing up faster. And they started standing up faster. And they started standing up faster. And I started counting, 80. 85, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97. And I told them, within a few days, you got time to get it in. I know maybe you got CDs or whatever. You got to get it out. Remember, you got to decrease before it to increase. And I said, 98, 99, 100. And when I said 100, the wind of God came out of the balcony. It was the first Assembly of God church. It was a Word of Faith church, but they bought the building and it had a balcony on there. And the wind came out of that balcony and knocked me and the pastor down. That wind, and you can hear it on the tape. It's a whoosh, knocked me and the pastor down. Now this is the truth. This is the truth. There were so many financial miracles in that. There was one lady that night, she gave $1,000. She was a widow woman. Her husband died 2 months before that. And she had $1,000 left out of the settlement after she paid funeral costs and insurance and everything. That's all she had left. And she was going to buy a used car because he had a truck and she sold that to help pay for the bills and everything else. You know, that's a shame that a widow woman don't have much left. You know, we need to... You know, God... Can I take a little break here and go a little side road? You ought to open storehouses for God to bless. He said in Deuteronomy 28, I'll bless your storehouse. If you don't have a storehouse or you don't have a bank account or a savings account, He can't bless it. God told me that the other day. A few months ago. He said, you better have. So I open up a retirement fund. Are you going to retire? Of course not. But I'll have some money in the bank. You should take care of it. You should take a part of your money and put it aside. God might ask for some of it. Can you say amen? There was a woman, that was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and then Monday, there was a man knocking at her door. This is the truth. Knocking on her door. 8 o'clock in the morning. And said, she opened the door and says, your name so-and-so? She says, yeah. He says, I own a dealership down here, and there's been a couple men in my... at the nighttime, been just giving me your address and your number, and I'm about ready to lose my mind. See, he got out of his mind and got into his spirit. And he said, these men won't leave me alone. Well, they're angels. Won't leave me alone. She didn't even know this guy. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. But honey, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if they're Christian or not. It's laid up for the just. God knows where to get it. God, if you obey what God said in His Word, that's His business to get it to you. I've had sinners give me large sum of money. Glory to God. And said, God told me to give you, at pink slip and all, this brand new car. And see what happened? Suddenly, she got in one accord what the prophet said and what God said, and suddenly, something started happened. I got it on tape. I hope they can find that tape because you can hear the wind on that tape. That was in the late 70s. Glory. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
See, look to the person next to you and say, the suddenlies are about to happen to you. And that's what God told me to come back to the church this morning as the spiritual head of this ministry. To tell you that suddenly, when you obey God, it's about to happen. It's going to happen all over the earth. There's going to be abundance of money. There's going to be abundance of the things that we need when we obey God in what He said.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I said, hey. I said, hey. What's that mean? Hey. I says, hey, devil, you're done for. Everybody say, hey.
Hey.
Amen. I'm so excited. Boy, what got into him? I got out of my mind and got into my spirit. Woo! Everybody trying to, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, then get into his thoughts. Where's his thoughts? Right in here. Not here. In here. Go like this. Not here, but in here. You see, that's where his thoughts are. When you put the Word of God and you obey in what He says. I'm telling you, there's some of you that the suddenlies are coming on you. There are going to be some of you that God is going to bless with businesses where you'll be able to stay and just let your business, let God bless that, and you'll be able to go on mission trips just with me and our field ministry. And there'll be many of you be able to go with us when we get our airplane, be able to go out, and you can see what I do in the field ministry, that I'm not laying around Palm Springs somewhere. I'm out working every night, every day. Glory to God. Well, how do you do it? Because I'm not in my mind, I'm in my spirit. When I'm in my spirit, I can flow. And Dr. Summerall taught me that. He's 83 years old. I've learned how he can go as fast. I want to know, you call me a similar ministry as his, I want to know, how does he do it without burning out? One thing, you stay greased down.
Amen.
The reason people get burned out, because they get burned out, is because they don't have no anointing on what they're doing.
Amen.
And you stay greased down with the Holy Ghost. You know, have you ever tried to get a greasy pig? And you can't hold on to him. The devil tries to grab me, and he can't. I got to put sickness on him. He's in and out of airports. He's in and out of buildings all the time. Go, 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 go. And I learned by Dr. Summerall. He taught me how to sleep on a plane. He taught me how to rest my body for I could go and triple my time in my lifetime. Because he's done it. And one thing you do, you don't go around, I got jet lag, I'm getting so tired. Ah, shut up. That body was given to serve you. Quit serving it. It's my earth suit, and it's to serve me. Now, I'm not saying that when I know when I need my body, when it's overtaxed, I cut it off. I learned, you know how I learned? In prayer lines, I walk off. God said, that's enough. And when he said, that's enough, I walk off. I don't care how many people are in the line, and you'll stay a long time. I learned that from Brother Hagin. He pulled me aside, and he taught me that. Well, these men have been around a long time. I think I'd listen to them. Instead of some young liquor siren, no, I'm praying for everybody. I got compassion. No, you're in your head. You're not in your spirit. You got to know spiritual laws. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Suddenly, God came up on that woman, blessed her. Maybe, I don't know if you've heard the story of, I was building a church, I was pioneering a church in Torrance, California. Some that are here this morning were with me at that time. And we bought the old Taco Bell headquarters in the back of the Torrance bowling alley there, right behind it. It's a building, still there, still a church today. Every church building that I built is being used for a church. And the fruit remains. And I leased it with an option to buy. It's a good way to buy buildings. It's one way to buy buildings. Well, after 2 years, we remodel it, fix it up, and that's when everything just, the land tripled. In the late 70s, it just tripled. The land and the building tripled doubled in price. I know that for sure. And so I had $10,000 in my building fund. And it was getting time. I had to have this $136,000 option money. Some of you know what option, Terry, you know what option money. They call it in the Midwest, they call it earnest money. Earnest money, they call it. And I had to come up with this earnest money to consummate the deal and then buy it. And they would finance it and everything else. Well, I didn't have $136,000. It wasn't there. Everybody say it wasn't there. And I was praying about it. I said, God, I got 10, but that ain't enough. How many of you know if you got 10,000 and need 136, 10 ain't going to get it. It just flat ain't going to get it. Especially a greedy landlord that doesn't want you to close because you fix the building up and then it has way over doubled in price. You know, there was one man that messed around with Moses. And Moses ended up with everything he got. I tell people that. You keep messing with me. If you try to hurt me and try to hurt the church, you keep messing, I'll end up with everything you own. Well, you're a smart aleck. No. You mess with God's people. You mess with the God's work. Can you say amen? Some of you don't know it. I've had people around here in this town are so mad over that billboard we got there. Got a threat the other day that they were going to picket it. Just follow the devil. They don't like. They don't want me here. That's too bad, honey. I'm here. I'm stuck until I hear a voice from heaven. I ain't moving. Amen. Nobody could move me out of Tulsa until God spoke to me. Can you listen? You hear what I say? Glory be to God. Now I can hear your mind. What for? None of your business. Don't worry about it. It's already taken care of. Glory to God. But I'll end up with the guy's businesses behind it. Can you say amen? So I was praying. I went to the bank. I did all my homework. The banks wouldn't give me money. No, we don't loan the churches. But isn't it amazing to loan the topless places? I wonder how many churches went broke during the Great Depression days. All the banks went broke, but churches were thriving back in those days. That's nothing but the spirit of Antichrist. I told a guy in Tulsa, I said, well, you're a church, I'm not loaning you money. I said, that's discrimination. I says, you wouldn't get away with that with a black man. If anybody had any guts, you wouldn't do that. I didn't say that in a racial way. I'm just saying. I said, they'll tell you baloney, the government will back me up. Just because I'm black and just because I speak in tongues, you better loan me that money. And they got scared and they loaned me the money. You let people push you around, my brother and sister. We're sweet, but you know what we carry, don't you? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Bam! Hit the devil. You all right now, aren't you? Glory to God. God bless you. Somebody give me a bad time. I don't know. I just have the feeling I like to walk in their office with a stick. The receptionist said, can I help you? Tell them Moses is here. And I got a stick, and it's a rod of authority, and it's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Glory! That's right. Go ahead.
What are you carrying around with you? Spirit of wimpiness? I just don't know why I pay tithes, and I don't get nothing. We just keep going broke. You can tell why a wishy-washy Christian don't last around here. Can you say amen? Glory to God, because we have a responsibility to be shepherds. Just because I'm in a 5-4 or if I'm in the field ministry doesn't mean I don't have a shepherd's heart. I want the sheep fed. I want them to grow up in the things of God. Tired of these little crybabies. We don't get to sit in my seat. People dying all around the community. They're worrying about things like sitting in their favorite seat. Bunch of babies. There's a bunch of wimpy pastors, too. There's a bunch of false pastors. We always talk about false prophets. There's a bunch of false pastors, too. That doesn't mean they're evil. False teeth are not evil, but it ain't the real thing, honey. You ain't. Look to the person next to you and say, is he talking about you or me? So I was in the office with this lawyer from Idaho. He was our nonprofit lawyer. I said, take the lease and go through it piece by piece and say, is there any way that we could prolong it or anything? You know, when you're knocking on doors, you know. Nobody will loan you anything. Half of your deacon board left because they said this thing's going down before. And you know, the devil will give you night visions. The devil would come and give me night vision. I can see all the chairs out in the middle of the street. Because the guy told me, if you don't have the money, I want you out of that building. And I'd lay there and I'd get night visions in my head. See, God's visions come here, and the thought process, the devil comes in. And Jesus said, don't take the thought. I said, that ain't my thought, but they were coming like machine guns. That ain't my thought. Shut that thing, get out of my head and get into my spirit. Because I can get into my spirit, that's where help is, that's where God lives, that's where the Holy Ghost is, and that's where Holy Ghost knowledge and wisdom is. It's in my spirit. You excited about this message this morning? Glory to God. And he said, there ain't nothing that we can do, David. Dave, there ain't nothing. He said, I went through this thing. He said, you got to come up with the money. I said, and then some of the guys, well, this, you know, they put a bunch of guys together and 136 guys, and they were going to loan me the money. I said, oh, thank God, I got the money. And I got along with God, and he says, what are you going to do with 136 landlords? They're going to all give $1,000 apiece when you can't even handle the one you got now. And he's trying to destroy you. God said, no. No weapon that is formed against the righteousness of God shall prosper. No instrument of war. What's he talking about? A man that will stand upright on God's word and say, my God is going to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. Then he said, now this is what I want you to do. I want you got a decrease in your bank account. I didn't want to give up that $10,000. I don't know why. I was holding on to that thing. And see, the very thing that you hold on is what will sink you. He said, 10 ain't going to get it, son. This is what I want you to do. I want you immediately write out check. I want you to send one over to that church that's talking about you. I said, Lord, they're preaching about me, and every Sunday it seems like I'm in their message. I don't know why people pick on me. Do you know why? I don't know. I mind my own business. I tell God, tell this one, that one. I said, it's none of my business. He said, better be your business. You tell him or it'll come on you. Sometimes you pay a price for popularity, but you're popular with God. Amen. Obedience. Everybody say obedience. And I didn't want to give it to that pastor. And then I found out I had unforgiveness in my heart because he was talking about it. And, you know, you got all these little tailbearers come over and tell you, you know, he said this and he said that. You know, they want to put these little things and, you know, leave me alone. Don't tell me that stuff. I don't need to hear it. And they'd come and tell me. And I said, Lord, I don't. He says, all right, then sink. So I obeyed God. I sent that money over, and this is the way I did it. I sent a guy over there, and I said, when they're receiving the offering, stand up and say, I got some money for your building fund. And you get their attention. And then get it up and hand it to the pastor and say, this is from Pastor Ed Dufresne from across the road, and he just wants to bless your church. Now, if that congregation says one, if he says one thing, they'll hang him. What is the guy talking about him when he came over here and gave us some money? There's different ways to shut the devil up. I had a man here in town, right here in town, sitting there talking about me in the pulpit. And somebody told me, and I phoned him up. You said this. You said I had oil coming out of my hands and all this, spreading rumors all through the different churches around here that I had a familiar spirit and this and that. And he was going like that on the, well, you know, I love you. And I nail him. I just come up and tell him. But I also learned, don't get a guy backed up in the wall and give him an out. And I said, brother, I know you love me, and I know you didn't mean that. He says, no, you could hear him. I'm that way. I'm just like a bulldog. I'll get right on it. And you stop that stuff. Can you say amen? Amen. And he sent me over a B3 organ, gave it to me. They said, well, it's old time. We don't use them. Just bring them on. Bring them on. I like them. See, there's different ways to stop the devil. So I broke it up and I obeyed God. And the guys that are around me says, he's went batty now. He's going to lose it. And this is the truth. We have some people in here that will vouch for this. There was a man that he's only heard me once preach. He was a multimillionaire, didn't go to my church. He wasn't even spirit-filled. He was saved, but he was not spirit-filled. Owned many aircraft companies and made parts for aircrafts. And that was during the time they did a lot of work with, you know, the military, and he had all kinds of business. He got saved off of 4 spiritual laws. I want to tell you something. God's got people in places that will come to your rescue and they will obey you. Never say, well, nobody's obeying God. There's somebody that will obey God. There's somebody that will decrease enough to bless a man of God. God used the donkey and suddenly he prophesied. This man, I was in the office every day because it was getting down the wire. We only had 4 days left. In there with a lawyer. There's just no way. And he was trying to make things do. Because the guy already told us, I want you out if you don't have your money in there. And I was just in the office praying. And then the secretary said, there's a man out here that wants to talk to you about your building. Well, I thought it was the other people coming to say, do you have your, you know, escrow closed on Friday? You have your money? We got to get all the papers ready. And I sent the lawyer out there to talk to him, and he come back, and he was white as a sheet. He said he wants to help you. I heard that. When your ship comes in, I know. You know, have you ever heard that? You know, when our ship comes in, we're going to help you. When their ship comes in, they buy a ship, and they forget about God. They don't obey God. You know, I want to tell you something. Wealth comes, and it'll go. It'll go overnight if you don't put God first. You heard men of God this during our fresh oil prophesied that there was people in this church that were supposed to give $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000, and they didn't do it. Some of them I know who they were, and they just inside are going. Dennis the Menace, you remember Dennis the Menace? And the, you know, the crook that was underneath the bridge with Dennis the Menace, and he was trying to put those beans in him, you know. That's what people do to God. No. And they wonder why they lose their wealth. You better obey God. You can get the suddenlies happening in your life. Praise God. I said, praise God. And so the man came in, and he came in a jogging suit. Man, I don't care if it was an elephant. I was looking for my suddenly, the money to happen. I was. I mean, faith came into my heart when I gave that money away. It was like a load lifted off. You know, the natural says, you've decreased down to zero. The bank account was zero, but now I'm getting ready to increase. And I needed, let me tell you something. If you ever need a fast miracle, that's when you better decrease fast to get it. And this man says, this is what he said. Yeah, I remember I was sitting behind my desk, and I was, where's this guy coming? You can't tell from the outside. You can never tell what people got. He said, I don't even like your preaching. I said, oh, God, here we go. That's what I said to myself. Oh, I'm going to get him. The guy's going to whip me up there. Why'd they let him in? He said, I don't even like your preaching. He says, I don't understand something. Now, this is amazing how people think. He says, in my church, the preacher stands right behind the pulpit, and he doesn't move. You go back and forth and move all over. Now, he's telling me this. You know, I said, this guy's going to rake me over the coals. I don't need this right now. I need some money. See, you never know. You never know how the bird's going to come that God's going to send it. And he said, but I can't sleep at night. I got these two guys in my room telling me to bring this money over to you. He finally got out of his thought life and out of his head and got into his spirit. And he obeyed, and he said, and he plunked down a cashier's check for $136,000. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know the reason why you're not happy is because you didn't get it. That's the reason you didn't shout. Come on, somebody shout. You ought to be happy that I got it. You ought to be happy that I got it, and God will give it to you.
Thank you, Lord.
The reason you didn't clap is because you didn't get it.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right, Kathy? He came back a week later, and Sam Carr from Shreveport, Louisiana. Oh, I'll tell you, if I wish I had time, God just did a miracle for Sam Carr. Sam Carr just got $3.6 million cash sitting in his bank to build his new building. Cash! God gave it to him. I rejoice! It's happening. The suddenlies are happening. Suddenly. He came in on a Sunday night when Sam Carr, and I turned over to Sam Carr, and Mr. Cronin, he came in the back, and he said, and he had tennis shoes and Levi's and a t-shirt. Was you in the youth singles in with him? He came back there with a t-shirt on, a tennis shirt. And I turned it over to Sam Carr, and Sam said, that guy just walked in. Come up here and obey God. And I looked around my seat. You know, look around, who's he talking about? And I said, he already did it. I'm thinking, he already did it. And he comes up, and he's crying. He picked up, this is what he said. He said, he was crying. He said, was you there when he said that? He said, God been dealing with me. And he told me later, those two guys were still in the room. He said, he told me to pay the whole thing off. He said, I'll have it, give me a couple days and get my some things together for I can, you know what he was saying, for I could decrease in some of my checking account. And he paid the whole building off. But he decreased. The wind. You know what the Bible says? You ought to do a little studying with your concordance, you guys that really study the Word. Do a study in concordance on wind. And there's a scripture, I think it's in Proverbs, and it says that the wind of God comes out of His treasures. He's got extra arms, legs. He's got everything. Did you know 2,000 years ago, everything that you need has already been provided? What's the problem? Obedience and one accord and what God said. You know, you need to check your life out. If things are not working for you, first of all, you need to see if your attitude towards me is right and towards Pastor Nancy's right and towards the church is right. You've got to get in one accord with the Bible. He won't let you starve. But you'll barely make it. There's a lot of Christians that are barely make it. They're not being blessed the way the Bible, Deuteronomy 28 says. And you've got to believe God and you've got to go by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to have faith in His Word. You got to have faith in His prophet. You got to have faith in the local church. You got to have a right attitude towards these things for them to work for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I must decrease.
For Him to increase.
Now that's in every, spiritually, in all areas of your life. Financially is down the road, but spiritually, you got to decrease. Me and my wife, next month, July 9th, we'll be married 11 years. It's been the sweetest 11 years of my life. It's been so sweet. I'm telling you, Dave, it's sweet, especially when you get the right woman. And she's the right woman for you. You better take good care of her, or I'll come on an airplane and get you. I wasn't kidding. Now listen, you got to decrease. We've been together, I would say, maybe, we wouldn't looking to have a baby. She didn't want a baby for at least, you know, enjoy her husband for several years. But when you get a baby, you know, when you're pregnant, you get to a certain size, they don't want you on airplanes, you know, because of the pressure, different things. So she had to stay home. Then the baby came, then other things came. She started running the office, and then when we moved out here, she's involved. We work together as a team with this church and the field ministry, and it's just so beautiful how I can keep and stay in the will of God and still have a church. God just works everything out. It's just so wonderful how He does it. But I've only been, and I've never heard one gripe out of her. Never. If she does have a gripe, she must talk to God about it. She has never had one gripe. Why? Because she must decrease. For God can increase in our ministry. It has to be that way. Are you listening to me? Don't you think she loves the road? She loves this church. But she has to decrease to the will of God. You don't know how hard sometimes to leave this church. I love this church. But yet I got to decrease because I have a higher anointing and I got to obey God in the field too. You understand that? You understand? And the church has been built on that, and you know that. When I leave, and I'm not saying this to be complaining, when I leave, I see those little boys. Stephen, Daddy, don't leave. Grant, just look in your eyes, you know. And one of the hardest things right now for me to do is to go from my house to the airport. But once I get in the airplane, I'm all right. But I have to get my get my thought life right. Amen. I'm decreasing to your will, not my will. You know, I wish marriage coach folks would get a hold of that. If each one of you would decrease for the other one, and the other one decrease for the other one, you'd have so much abundance of love in your home. One quarter of our married life. And that might be overestimating it. I don't know. But you say that's about right, maybe? One quarter. And some of you can't leave your wife for 2 days and you're climbing the walls. But I have to get out of my head and get into my heart and get into what God called me to do. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'm not saying that for you to feel sorry for me. I mean, you can give me a big check. That would really bless me, make me happier. But no. Because we obey God. Dave knows what I'm talking about. Wendy had to. I talked to Wendy about that. I said, now you got to realize you leave your mother and father and you stick with him. You have to decrease in that area. You're a close family, but you got a husband now. And then another, he ain't a normal guy. He don't work in a bank. He could be in Wichita one night and he could be in another place another night. She has to understand that. You understand what I'm talking about? No, people don't know the sacrifices that ministers make. They're worth every bit of it. Every bit of it to obey God. The other night I was in a... Where's the time go? The other night I was in Michigan. And I was picked up in the airport coming from South Bend, Detroit to Saginaw, Midland. Went to this church. Richard Jolliffe is the pastor there, doing a wonderful job. I was there last year at their camp meeting. One night, this night they had me for two. It was so hot. And I said, did they get new air conditioning in?